Psalm chapter 2, 3,000 years ago, God has spoken, God has communicated, God is communicating to a world that is rationalizing, to a world that is emotionally enraged, to a world that conspires to rid itself of God, to rid itself of, in their view, religion. Does this have anything to do with Richard Dawkins and the aggressive new atheists movement that's going on today? Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. We are at May the 28th, Friday evening, 6 p.m. And listen, it is hot here. It is about 84 degrees. And I've noticed on Sunday, it's gone from 84 and now 85 and then 86. The last prediction I saw for Sunday in our area is going to be 87 degrees. Very humid in this area, too. Maybe some thunder showers, but I tell you what, it's going to be really warm. Beautiful days to get out and jog, do things. I'll be out later on tonight. We've got some outreach concerts going on in the city area. I'm going to try to make my way up there tonight. But I want to say welcome to all of you coming in tonight. We're in the middle of a series, or literally at the end of it this week now. And the series was The Atheist's Abyss and Friendship with Lucifer. The Atheist's Abyss and Friendship with Lucifer. Monday night, the title was The Atheist Ship is Sailing, and has a gaping hole in its soul, the abyss of hopelessness. Tuesday night at 7 p.m., Survive to Thrive Radio Network. As the guest host, we did the title, The Atheist's Bitter Cup and Angry Spirit, The Quest to De-Evangelize the Saved. Believe it or not, hey, Wednesday night, The Atheist's View of Evil, all the while evil as a code is in their DNA and in their heart. Now, tonight, the atheists' weakness and their embrace of globalism and what looks like their embrace of or evidencing of the fulfillment of Psalm chapter 2, written 3,000 years ago. That's why I've asked the question whether Richard Dawkins, a globally known atheist, author of the famous book, The God Delusion, in which he attempts to persuade believers in God to become atheists. So it's a book, it's kind of a atheist's evangelistic book to de-save the saved, to de-God those who say they know God, to move hearts and lives away from God. Now, that's pretty amazing to me that, you know, it would be one thing just to say, I don't believe in God. It'd be one thing to say, I don't know if there's a God that's out there or not. It'd be one thing to say that they're mad at God, but to have an agenda that says, you know what, we've got to go beyond this. We've got to go to the point where we're seeking aggressively to persuade by film, by, yes, films, and also by books and video and debates, talk shows, things like that, to try to talk those who are, quote, in their view, religious, because they see the religious as dangerous people. So if you're a religious person out there, the new aggressive atheists, they're seeing you as the troublemakers and the cause of all the evil on the planet. And it's one way to dissociate their own responsibility for their own sin, their own dying and coming death, and their fault, their blame, their guilt. But I'm saying that in the end of days, we will see that the love of most will grow cold. There's going to be a critical mass of feeling between the masses of people, nations, and also the kings of the earth. So look for the persuasion among political leaders, among nations putting out laws, and also among individuals. They're the ones that will inspire these new laws and persuade the political scene, as they would even lobby in a kind of, populist consensus, a critical mass, the 100th monkey type thing to, rid the culture of God. Rid the schools of God. Rid the streets of God. And like in the days of Babylon, they will not stop erasing God from politics, military, the streets, schools, education, in every single discipline. In Daniel's day, the leadership and those who were opposed to God even came to his home to spy on him, to watch whether he was praying or not, and then go to make laws that he could not even pray in his house, that he would have to bow down to another god. Now, I'm going to say that that's the kind of aggressive spirit that's coming, whether the atheist knows it or not. The spirit of Antichrist, anti-God, the spirit that is behind what is called lawlessness, anthropos anomos. You read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There is an apocalypse, an unveiling of anthropos, the man of, anomos. This is that lawlessness. I think it's joined with what the prophet Daniel has also said about the rise of the Antichrist with a boastful mouth, with the, erasing God from culture, from the globe. And this is all about that long, long war against God. And so many people are being used. Atheists are being used in that war. They have become the new Judases. They've become the new Judases, and they've got three gaping vulnerabilities that we're going to get into tonight. Want to welcome you again. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Want to say thank you again to those that do email and say hello to us. We are grateful to hear from you, and sometimes it takes us a little bit when we get the emails later on in the day to get back to everybody and say hello, but we are we look forward to hearing from you during even the day. I know that Friday night and everybody's getting off work and everybody's taking off other places. Many of you that are listening by your computers right now, maybe radio stations, and then later on thousands will download the archive of this show tonight. So that in one single hour, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday night, 28th of May, 2010, the providence of God operative. And so this is the opportunity. Listen, if an atheist has somehow been guided to begin to listen, to take a look at, and, well, whether they want to pick apart the last four sessions that we've done, or whether they want to simply sit back, look, read, and open up a little bit. Maybe it's time for the atheist to listen because of the three gaping vulnerabilities that we're going to talk about tonight. For the new listeners tonight, this is Russ Dizdar. We're glad that you're here. We welcome all believers in Christ everywhere across the nation, other nations. And we would love to hear from you. ShatterXmail@SBCGlobal.net. ShatterXmail@SBCGlobal.net. You can send us a note. You could just simply say, hey, we're listening. And we appreciate it. Keep us in your prayers also. We appreciate that. And we want you to know that we put out the newsletter, the second newsletter for the month of May. We put out two every single month. It's called The Preemptor. And you can go to ShatterTheDarkness.net. Upper right-hand corner, you'll see where it talks about the second issue. And you can get that. We have added to that the, we've put up anyway the post of the book, The Dawkins Delusion, written by a theologian over there in England, Alistair McGath. And when you think in terms of the atheists, and again, I have engaged atheists over the years in talking at the university, just individuals on the street, others that would say they are atheists, they don't believe there is a God, and there's been engagement. Alistair McGrath was once an atheist, turning to Christ and then becoming the, well, worldwide known theologian that he is. He has responded to the aggressive atheistic agenda. Richard Dawkins, who wrote the book, The God Delusion, well, the theologian now has responded, and his book is called The Dawkins Delusion. might be good to take a read of that. And listen, if you're looking to, as a believer in Christ, to have an answer to give to others that will ask you why you believe in God, why you believe in Christ, what does it do for you? And maybe even if they come to you to kind of de-evangelize, to try to, and if you ever do read the book, The God Delusion, well, the goal of the book is to get you to quit believing in God and become an atheist. That's right. So you want to equip yourself on the site shatterthedarkness.net. You'll look down a little bit, scroll. You won't even have to scroll too far, but you'll see where we're offering the introduction to the course Supernatural Apologetics. Apologetics are all about giving an answer to the world, to those that don't know God, to those that might be seeking, for the reasons why you have this biblical hope, this experience of God, this worship and prayer and walk and commitment to God. So it's all about giving an answer in a very honorable way, a way that demonstrates respect and the love of Christ towards individuals. And so we have a course called Supernatural Apologetics. It is now free up on the site, along with Confronting the Powers. And hey, just take a hold of it if you want some training. It's the same kind of course I would teach at a local college if we did. We've taught it locally here in churches and other places. So there it is for you, free. And we also have the new series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, one of the most important series I have ever worked on. And also this is a series that we are in the struggle of getting, like even today. We were supposed to have it up session number 6 about a week ago, and finally this morning. It won't even go up till tonight. So there's been a big battle just getting it out. And I want you to know there's been that battle. So keep us in your prayers for all those that are seekers, for atheists, for the remote viewers and psychics and New Agers. I want you to know that you're not here by accident. I would also say to InfoGuard and to Recon, you know, those who do the recon from, well, the Brotherhood, that you're also here, and the words that we speak tonight that involve the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God and this ancient prophecy from 3,000 years ago. Well, it's all about you, and it's all about the gripping love of God, the spirits of God's ability to communicate and speak to your heart. I'm going to tell you why some people run from it. Some people just get angry, won't listen. Because something within is hostile. Now listen for a moment, please. Something within is hostile towards God. I don't know if you've ever looked at it that way. But this hostility that is sometimes demonstrated by those on the streets, but also those in some of the highest educational spots in the world. The atheist does not realize what's going on inside. So I'm going to talk about, and I want to challenge you to go to Romans chapter 8, and there you're going to see about a presence within the totality, all of fallen humanity, that has not yet come to God and been set free from that presence. It involves a hostility towards God. And sometimes the rhetoric, there is no God, and the boastful declarations. I was watching a video the other day in London, England. There was a man on the street that, the T-shirt that he had had a trash can on it, and they were showing somebody throwing a cross into the trash can. And he was out there with a billboard telling everybody to quit believing in God, that he was against God, that there is no God, and he was pretty vocal about it. And so that's why I'm saying that there is this rise of the demonic presence worldwide, no question about that. There is this rise of alternative vast flavors of alternative spirituality given by the dark side that preoccupies and distracts lives, never leads them to God or Christ, but does give real but lethally deceptive spiritual experiences. So we are in a day, in an age of enormous biblical prophetic fulfillments and engagements. And if you have felt it in the air, if you have seen it in the destabilization in politics, in nations, economics, economies, even the environment. By the way, in the United States, we're facing now, they're saying, is the largest ecological environmental disaster ever. Pretty massive. The Bible speaks of others to come down the road, even wormwood. The Bible speaks of the globe being impacted with enormous environmental, economic, political, well, military, massive upheavals, chaos, and anarchy, and vast numbers of humanity dying. Now, again, the atheists can do nothing about that other than just scream at God and blame religion. And I encourage you to continue to keep your eye on prophetic biblical revelation. We've got a little 30-day, I think, devotional series. It's called 2010 and Beyond Prophetic Insight. That's what the book coming up, 31 Days Ablaze, Prophetic Revelation is all about. And it's going to give the insight that God has given about coming fulfillments of massive and even global scale prophetic fulfillments that this prophecy is spoken about. And we're talking about one of them tonight, Psalm chapter 2. So as you get Psalm chapter 2 out, and it was encoded and put out by the Spirit of God, well, 3,000 years ago. And it was a current, but then again along the way, but then again at the end of days, it finds its ultimate fulfillment demonstrated in Revelation 16, but particularly in Revelation 19:19. Actually, I believe that the fulfillment is Armageddon, the ultimate fulfillment that expresses the peoples, the nations, the kings of the earth taking their stand. Now listen, it shows that they have gathered together. And you're going to find that in Revelation 16, Revelation 19, out of Psalm chapter 2. They gather together. You're talking now about the masses of people worldwide, the nations as a whole demonstrated in their politics, a popular consensus, development of law, enforcement through law enforcement and military, things that will begin to demonstrate deeper, broader national and global and, well, on the scale of top leadership, hostility towards God. Now, you're going to notice that it's not a matter of there is no God. It's a matter of ousting God. It's a matter of opposition to God. And that's what I'm seeing in the new atheist agenda, that even though they would declare there is no God, it goes way beyond this. They want God ousted. They want those who believe in God to switch and become atheists. And there's an agenda to do that. They want political society and popular culture and education and all the way down the line. They want it all extricated. They want it out. And I think that that is part of that fulfillment. And that's why I'm wondering whether atheists really out there. And tonight is, again, a broader challenge. This is not just simply a discussion that we could have. If an atheist writes in tonight, we'll respond. If an atheist writes in later, we'll seek to respond. And so we've tried to, you know, dig into that the heart of and the mentality of the agenda. But I'm saying that behind the so-called rational, logical thinking that is claimed as the reasons why they don't believe in God and they want God and religion out. Behind that is a powerful spiritual presence that brings the rationalization, that brings a dark logical conclusion, or at least they think that is. And I'm very, very sure that Judas, I mean, obviously he had to consider, think, sell out, and go. I mean, he sold out Christ. He sold out Christ, though he'd been around him for 3 years, though he'd seen all the things that he had seen. And so I'm going to speak about the three vulnerabilities. Now listen, if you're a believer in Christ and you have family members that say that they're atheists, or you know that people at work or university are reading Richard Dawkins' books and they're engaging in the new atheists' agenda. And by the way, I've never been invited to an atheist meeting. I've looked in the newspapers here lately and I don't see any meetings around town. Any conventions around town. I don't know where to go to get involved with one of the meetings. And I wonder what the meeting would be like other than constant verbiage about there is no God and religion caused all this and adding fuel to that fire. Without listening, without looking, and without opening up. Though they say everybody should be opened up that... they believe that those who are religious simply are not. Listen, you've got a guy here that's, you know, I'm willing to read. I got thousands and thousands and thousands of books all around me. Reading the Satanic Bible, the Devil's, you know, Bible, all these dark materials, all philosophies of nihilism and existentialism and deism and Hinduism, pantheism, monism, all the way down the line. We're not afraid to read. We're not afraid to engage. I clearly come from a bias that I would say God is not only really out there, but I know God, walk with God, experience God. That's the motivation. It's not just a rationalization. It's not just a blind belief thrown out into dark clouds. It's a relationship, an experiential relationship. From day one, over 35 years ago, when the living Christ, once on the cross, once dead, but raised from the dead. That's, you know, my proclamation. Now, of course, the atheist and others will say, well, prove that. Well, I think that it has been demonstrated and proved quite well in those days. The results are that individuals, by the millions around the world, listen, Mr. and Mrs. Atheist, listen, Richard Dawkins, they're not believing in dry religion, a concept. They're receiving the living Christ, God, into their lives in personal relationship. And as much as that would bug you, the joy, the hope, the inward Spirit of God, witnessing to the realities of this great salvation, this great love of God, this great power of God, this gift of eternal life. You see, it's still happening. It's not happening based on dry writings, but on living words. It's not happening based on some concept of God being a billion miles away and a dry intellectual belief. It's about an experiential, relational encounter. You either, listen, everybody listening right now, those by the archives later, you either have God dwelling within, Christ dwelling within, and you know God. God is there, experiential in prayer and worship and walk and life and in the Word and seeing His work, or you don't. You don't have to be an atheist not to have God. You could be involved in some religious institution. You could be a Catholic. You could be a Baptist. You could be a Pentecostal. You could be all these kind of things as far as institutional religious services. But I ask you, does God dwell on the inside? Because that, my dear friend, that is what it's all about. That's why Christ came. God's not willing that anyone would be lost. The reason for the sending of the Son of God that most atheists could never even guess at is found in a powerful, liberating, explosive verse not only John 3:16, but John 3:17. God did not send his son, the Savior, prophesied by hundreds of prophetic words of Old Testament place. Well, just massive detail about the coming of Christ and the accuracy. This is why I'm going to say again that biblical prophecy is infallible, irrevocable, unchangeable, indefeatable, but there is a spiritual battle to nix the recipients of prophecy, to stop prophecy from being fulfilled, because so many of them are explosively damaging to the dark side, explosively evidence of God's great grace, power, and sovereign might. So when we bring up this issue that every time I hear an atheist talk about God and talk about those who know God and how stupid they are, and I listen to a lady of the spokesman for the American Atheist Society here say the words that their beliefs are stupid, their practices are stupid, their theology is stupid. So I see the words. I don't mind them. They don't shake me. Let me tell you my response. I feel sorry for Richard Dawkins, for his family, for his students, for the Ellen was her name, doing a television talk show. I was watching the interview. As a matter of fact, if you want to get a link to that, just write to me and I'll give you the link to that 1 hour long. It's really engaging the English. And when we talk to and look at where we're finding a lot of this antagonism, let me tell you something. There is clearly a really strong antagonism in England concerning God. I mean, here's the place of Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, Charles and John Wesley. Here's the place where God struck England powerfully in mass revival and thousands upon thousands upon thousands turning. I was reading a sociologist where they were talking about the revivals by John Wesley and so forth, and they were saying that maybe it helped save England from social collapse. See, that's the kind of revival I believe in, where God comes with great power and great might. I mean, I read of Robert Raikes. Does anybody know Robert Raikes? John Knox? The wicked queen of Scotland feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. Robert Raikes would go to Sooty Alley and find all these orphanage kids, dirty kids, and there he would go in to teach them English and teach them the Bible. And there is the beginnings of the Sunday school movement that had been unleashed and blessed millions of children the world over, having pre-educational Bible studies prior to the regular worship service. Robert Raikes, take a look. Check him out. Take a look at some of the past. Would to God that great, great evangelists like this would be unleashed all over England, United States, and other places too. And I want to say to every single believer listening right now, why not you? Has God's power stopped? Has God's gifting stopped? Has God withdrawn his grace? Has God withdrawn his spirit? Has Christ left the earth? And, listen, by our inactivity, believers, I believe by our inactivity, first of all, being disobedience to the great call of God, to take up the cross and follow Christ, to get involved in the Great Commission, to do the will of God, by the inactivity of believers. Why the inactivity? Well, I mean, the world around us has us so busy. Who has time for a half hour of prayer every day? Let me tell you, the spiritual strength and power, the experiential side of millions of believers, real believers in Christ, maybe you, are void of the kind of experiences you see in the book of Acts that occurred on the field of evangelism. You see, the early church, clothed with the power of God, the living Christ, they had the operative living Christ working among them. Listen, you go to shatterthedarkness.net, look at that listing of some of the newest broadcast podcasts, and there's one on the Philip Factor. All believers in Christ, I would encourage you to listen to the Philip Factor. I want you to know that that the same living Christ, same power of God, same will of God, same aggressive work of God. There's not one iota of withdrawal until Christ comes. And this is something that every believer has to realize. And that many of the experiences of seeing the power of God strike not only individuals like Saul of Tarsus. Remember this guy, aggressive against Christ, aggressive against the church, wanting to get rid of all of it. But yet God encounters him, Christ encounters him, the living Christ encounters him. A tremendous testimony about a man that once rejected vehemently and was hostile to Christ and the church, seeing it as some kind of religious cult, but was encountered by the living Christ. His life was changed and he became one of the great missionaries and used by God to give some of the bulk of the New Testament writings. I think that there are probably atheists out there, maybe Satanists out there, maybe pagans out there, maybe New Agers out there, maybe seekers out there, that once God encounters you and you turn to the living Christ, your life will be so gripped by the living presence, power, love, reality of God that you may become one of the next George Whitfields, John Knoxes, John Wesleys. Oh, he had antagonism. There's no question about it. John Wesley knew by the Spirit of God he was to take evangelism out into the streets, to the masses. The world would be his pulpit. Because the institutional side of the church, once again, like Sardis, once alive but was becoming dead. That happens. That happens when so-called church leaders allow the political culture or religious syncretism or the pressures of spiritual warfare to suppress them and silence them into kind of a romantic religious picture that people can look at but not experience. That's what much of the institutional church is today. That's why Jesus engaged the churches in the book of Revelation, Sardis, Thyatira, Laodicea. It's the living Christ encountering churches that, well, once one was alive but became dead, he was encountering it. One that had become so lukewarm, he was ready to get rid of it. And others that have allowed spiritual infiltration, dark occultic infiltration. And again, Jesus, when you and I let him be Lord of our lives, we know what that means. A living relationship, walking with God in prayer, doing the will of God. And that it also means getting out of this, and this is what I'm going to say right now, many, many Christians are just grossly inactive. Spiritually, they're grossly inactive. They're very limited in prayer. And as a matter of fact, many of the American churches, like we're looking for a church right now. We were part of one for a few years locally. I no longer pastor a local church like I did for 30 years. And so we're going to churches and we're noticing that in the gathering of whether a few hundred or a few thousand, that the experiences, I mean, there's worship, but in the prayer area, there's like 38 seconds of collective. Count up all the time when people bow their heads, 38 seconds, 58 seconds. It's an extraordinary to me that the spiritual, cultural atmosphere, the world, the flesh, and the devil, has brought a suppression to and a deep inactivity to the body of Christ. Many Christians are not experienced in leading others to Christ, in feeling and seeing the power of the Spirit of God at work, in watching people that have gotten prayed for healing, or dealing with the demonic, or seeing how the Spirit of God guides and leads in providential ways. So many Christians do not have stories of spending time with God in prayer and getting powerful answers, being in revivals when God strikes, like Acts chapter 4, like Acts chapter 6, like Acts chapter 8 with Philip. You got to take a look at the book of Acts as the, I think, the end days type manual. And that God who is alive, well, powerful, strong, whose every single promise is now yes to those who are believers. But you got to take up the cross. You got to take the word of God. Unless you step out, you don't put it into practice until you obey it. It doesn't become the power of God, the experiential work of God in you and through you until you obey it. And so I want to say to the believers, on the one hand, God is waiting for you to make your move. And that is to repent of inactivity, disobedience, yieldedness to the world, the flesh, and the devil. To stand up and yield. Take a read of James 4. Submitting to God completely. Resisting the devil completely. Drawing near to God and letting God draw and come experientially near in your life. That's all waiting to happen for so many of you. So I'm glad you're listening, and probably overwhelmingly the majority listening are believers in Christ. There may be others, and I know of others that write me. There are Satanists that write antagonism stuff that do blame Christians and talk about how dead they are. Though they love to glory in that, they do not realize that God is alive and well in millions of believers worldwide. And that millions more are coming to Christ all over the world. Now tonight I've mentioned I'm going to deal with three of the deep vulnerabilities of the atheist. Number one, blinded. Number two, empty anger. Number three, a solid wall against God. Developing a solid wall against God. Now let me go over these one by one. And by the way, again, appreciate the note in right now that, and listen, here's a word, and I think this is very important. It says, "Hi, Russ. Global scale trouble like the world has never seen." And I do agree. And here's what he asks. Wayne asks this, and I appreciate this, Wayne. Wayne asks, please explain the business as usual scenes Christ described in the turmoil. And, you know, that's a good point, Wayne. I think it really is, because when you look at Matthew chapter 24 and you read about wars, rumors of wars, false prophets, deception, when you read about the love of most will go cold, eventually the abomination of desolation, when you read about, well, Jesus saying that a time will come with such enormous devastation the world has never experienced in human history. But Jesus will talk about in that chapter where, yes, people are given in marriage. People are out living in business. They're trying to work. And you look at that all around us right now. We all know. It's like the picture I got, Wayne. Listen, Wayne. This picture I got of 9/11 years ago now. Remember when the second plane hit and then eventually the towers were coming down. And the cameras were showing individuals running down the streets. Black soot around their mouth and nose where they've been breathing it in. And then there's this, you can see behind them the burning, smoking building coming down. You could see thousands of people running and running and the ones closest to the camera, you could see the fear on their faces, and they continue to look behind them to see how far away the catastrophe, whether or not they're far enough away. Now, I think that a lot of people are working and doing and busy and tired and surviving, but they constantly look over their shoulder. They're looking for the collapse, Wayne. They're looking for the great, horrific chaos that's about to break out. But yes, they're going to be at the stock exchange. They're going to be at the supermarket. They're going to be having yard sales. I mean, we have the worst ecological disaster in all of American history. We had 9/11. We had Katrina. But the rest of the country, they're still having yard sales this weekend. All over the place. Ball games. And party night for so many. And so you're correct. There is business as usual. But I think it's in a kind of fearful survival mode. With people constantly looking over their shoulders. Because they can feel it in the air. They can sense. Appreciate that, Wayne. Again, the three vulnerabilities of the atheist. Number one, blinded and unexperienced or inexperienced. I would say on because, let me say it this way, I've never met an atheist, ever. And listen, I've been a pastor 30 years, been out in ministry about 35, and dealt with thousands and thousands of people over the years. As a believer, with the Spirit of God in me, with a lot of the experiential side of seeing thousands come to Christ, seeing lives healed, prayers answered, deliverances, demons screaming out of possessed people, the authority of Christ, seeing all these things, there is a witness. I meet believers in conferences and churches where I go to speak. By the way, we'd love to come to conference in your area. And I was just listening to an interview Derek Gilbert did with a sister out of California. She's setting up the West Coast Paranormal Conference in which she's inviting people like Michael Heisner. I'm invited. It's going to be in October. We're gonna wait until she gives us more information. Then we'll begin to put up more information about that. But it's going to be... Well, somewhere there in Orange County, real close to the John Wayne Airport. But anyway, that's coming up. And what I'm saying about all this is that many individuals I meet, and I'm going to say as a pastor, I've met religious people that did not know God. I've met people raised in a Christian home, but they did not know God. I've met people that became ushers in a church. They helped with the food. They brought flowers in for the altar area. But experientially, they've never had the living Christ enter their life. If you ask them, and I'm asking you, what is your experience of Christ coming into your life? Tell me about your salvation. Tell me about being born again of the Spirit of God. Tell me about, you know, what it was before, how you heard of, and the encounter where Christ came into your life, and how it's going right now. Again, Romans chapter 8, you either have Christ and the Spirit of God in you or you don't. Romans chapter 8 says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. So listen, Catholics, I don't care how religious you are, do you know the living Christ dwelling in you, born again by the Spirit of God, like the Word of God says? And that would go for anyone, Episcopal, Anglican, whatever, across the board. Salvation is not done by the church. Jesus Christ is the Savior, dying on the cross, being buried, rising from the dead in fulfillment of Scripture, and alive right now. Alive right now. I've spoke with Him today and walk with Him today. Yes, it's a matter of His presence and the Spirit of God within. But the atheist, and I've never in all these years, 35 years, met anyone that claims to be an atheist and said, well, I once knew God. I once experientially knew Christ. I knew the joy of salvation. I knew the power of God. I knew what it was like to have dwelling in me the gift of eternal life. I have never met an atheist. And listen, listening to all the talk debates that I've done this last week, listening to Richard Dawkins in videos on YouTube and on documentaries and reading the materials, not one iota of the breath of God experienced in their life. So I'm saying that the atheist speaks out of a blinded, inexperienced position. I don't know one that experientially knows God, knew God, and then walked away and said, now I'm an atheist and there is no God. I don't see how you could do that. I know believers that have been backslidden. Listen, we've had ministries where we've walked right into biker bars, hardcore bars with teams. The owner let us come in. We ordered coffee. We sat down next to people. We spent 2 years going there again and again and again every weekend. I would teach theology for 3 hours, and then we would go to get something to eat. Then we'd go into this one particular bar, and there we would share Christ and pray with people. We led people to Christ. Can I tell you something? I met a lot of backslidden believers in that bar. I've met a lot of backslidden believers in that bar, and I've even had a few believers walk up to me that knew me because of local newspaper. Our face had been in the newspaper before for events. And they said, hey, aren't you Pastor Russ? And I'd say, yes. They'd say, what are you doing in here? And I would say, I am looking for you. And Jesus wants you to return back to full fellowship. I've met many backslidden believers. But I've never met a backslidden believer. I mean, a real believer in Christ that had the living Christ in them, the Spirit of God in them. That though they had had some things occur, wounded warrior believers down. They could get mad at God. They could be backslidden. They could be angry. They could be hurting. But I'm going to tell you right now, 35 years, I've never had a real believer, even though in trouble, wounded, backslidden, tell me there is no God. They know the difference. They might say, where's God in my life? You know, this is what happened to me, and I love Jesus. I've had people in that bar drinking their beers, backslidden, knowing, convicted. I've had people see me and run out the back door. But I've seen some that just sat there and cried like a baby in the bar about, you know, some bad things that occurred in their life and how they've backslidden. They know they're wrong and they know they need to get back. So we've led a lot of backsliders back to Christ. James chapter 5, the last couple of verses, take a read. There are those as believers, and I could be very sure that there's some listening right now, that have wandered. I mean, you really do know that you know that you know God, Christ in your life. Maybe once you knew victory. But whether it's the world, the devil, or your own fallen old sin nature, you've wandered away. And by the providence of God, and by the Spirit of God, and by the love of your Savior, you're called right now, this day, to come back. To break with the fallen world system. To break with the woundedness. To break with the... Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Aren't you tired of being convicted and hiding and running? Don't you want to pick up the Bible again and begin to just read it and let it soak into your soul? Don't you want to just embrace Jesus and tell him how much you love him and want to follow him? Don't you want to feel the Spirit of God come all over you again and fill you and the cleansing of the blood of Christ, washing it all away, and the Lord, who is the lifter of your head, build you back up? I pray Ephesians 3:14-20 for you. Out of God's glorious riches, may he strengthen you in the inner man. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, you would be strengthened. That you would know that Christ would dwell in you and you would know the love of God experientially. Ultimately, if you read Ephesians 3:14-20, you're going to see where it talks about being filled to the full measure of God. And that's God's will. That's God's provision. That's God's blessing for you. So get out of the woundedness. Get out of the sin. Get out of your doubt. Remember James chapter 1, the doubter won't receive anything. Repent of your doubt. Stand up again. Believe Jesus, your Savior, and get on with it. God's waiting for you. Let me say to the atheist, though, you're vulnerable, number one, because you're blinded. You're blinded by the inexperience of having the living presence of God within, having the Spirit of God reason with you. There's an Old Testament verse where God says, "Come, let us reason together," says the Lord. Does the atheist really think they can out-reason God? Have you ever read Psalm 139? Have you ever read where it says, "Where can you go from God's presence? Where can you flee?" Have you ever read about, listen, can you find a knowledge, a wisdom? I mean, Job learned, really in a real sense, the hard way, of the extraordinary. I mean, listen, you might think you know God all you need to know Him. Go through some spiritual warfare, come out the other end, and knowing God like you've never known Him before, and watch, listen, don't sit around and be stagnant as a believer in Christ. The Spirit of God's goal is to move you into deep growth, becoming strong, very fruitful, and very powerful. That's God's will. You can't sit back. And for the atheist, I engage you and I challenge you concerning your blindedness. Not one, not Richard Dawkins, not one atheist that I've engaged, read, seen, heard, or talked to that I know of has ever experientially knew the living Christ, the presence of God, was in a relationship, and then became an atheist. I just haven't found that. And I do have a professor here at the university, went to an Episcopal seminary, left it all, now he's antagonistically against the church. And as I engaged him in a discussion, the bottom line, he never knew God. He went to seminary, was never born of the Spirit of God, never had the living Christ inside. Let me ask you something. If you say you're a Christian, does the living Christ dwell in you? I'm going to tell you again, the church can't save you. The Savior, the living Savior, knocking at the door of your heart. And I don't care if you've been in the church for 40 years and say, "Well, I've lit candles, I've given money, do you know Christ personally, alive, living in your life, and the Spirit of God dwelling?" You better read Romans chapter 8. Number two for the atheist, empty anger. Empty anger. And I'm going to say this very clearly, that I see this enormous empty anger. For Judas, it was an empty greed, empty anger. In other words, again, you don't have the life of God, the love of God, the breath of God, the healing of God. You don't have any of this inside of you. It's as if you become an aggressively somebody who's against all pie and cake. And you take and write books against all pie and cake, and you hate pie and cake, and you don't want, you know, the world to have any pie and cake, but you've never in all of your life tasted pie or cake. Not as a child, not as a teenager, not as an adult, in all of your experiences, empty, empty, empty. So the emptiness that's there that kind of connects with number one, but there's a hostility, an anger. There's an aggressive side, a hostility. And again, I'm going to tell you, Romans chapter 8 tells you the cause of the hostility that's deep, deep, deep inside the atheist. I believe inside Richard Dawkins. That it goes beyond his own arrogant rationalization to where by his own mind he can justify his life being angry at God and saying there is no God and cursing religion. Judas Iscariot, the betrayer of Christ. Jesus knew which of them did not believe. Judas never did believe. He didn't know God. He was blinded. He was empty. He couldn't talk from experience. But the emptiness And the greed became an open door. You read in the book of John's gospel how Satan entered into him, because that emptiness and that deep-seated greed became a doorway for Satan himself to enter into. I know the atheists would think they would be a balderdash. They would never believe that dark spirits and spiritual deception or Satan could enter them and use them to betray Christ, to become an activist for the spirit of Antichrist. Richard Dawkins has written a bold book called The God Delusion, in which he states he wants to talk religious folk out of their faith and turn them into an atheist. He wants to talk God out of you. He wants believers in Christ to drop it and become an atheist. Can I ask you something? Is it possible that somebody has walked into Richard Dawkins' life? Did Judas know that he was guided, reasoned with, moved upon? That's what led him to go out and sell Christ out. And I believe Richard Dawkins and atheists, because of their blindedness, because of their empty anger, can allow the dark side to subtly, without their ability to detect, like Judas, the enemy to enter in and move them to become anti-God, anti-Christ. Number three, the goal to rid the world of God. The goal to throw off religion. The goal to throw off Christ. The goal to throw out the Bible. Guarantee you, in England, one guy wrote and had a big thing where they were having people. This is a true story. Stop by outside a particular cathedral, drop off their Bibles that they didn't want, because they were going to take the Bibles and recycle the paper and make pornography out of it. I mean, there's some deep hostility in England, I would say also across the United States and other parts of the world. Rid the world of God. Psalm chapter 2 predicts that in the end of days, the peoples, the nations, the kings of the earth, a growing emotionally guided conspiracy to stand against God and against Christ. Beware, Mr. and Mrs. Atheist, but more than that, know that Jesus died for you, loves you. He can come into your life tonight. Anyone listening tonight, the living Christ can come into your life tonight. Ask him to. Invite him into your life. Go to the Gospel of John. Write to us. Take a look at the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Listen, my friends, we're at the end of the hour. Good night, and God bless.